It's all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio. Starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
Oh, this is going to be such a fun segment because, you know, our guest, Susanna McGee, who's a former Ms. Natural Olympia, drug-free bodybuilding champion, really strikes close to my heart. You know that, Michelle,
yes.
Because I've spent over 30 years as a resistance-trained athlete, been lifting weights long before they were cool. And, you know, this issue of how much protein do you actually need to be able to maintain an excellent and competitive body composition for a woman especially is needed. I mean, how do you do that? Are you supposed to eat half a cow a day? Are you, you know, doing the plant thing? Put that cow down, Michelle. I saw you. So Susanna McGee, as I said, is a former Ms. Natural Olympia drug-free bodybuilding champion, the author of The Athlete's Simple Guide to a Plant-Based Lifestyle. Ooh, I can't wait to hear about this. First, Susanna, Michelle and I welcome you to Her Radio, and what we want to know is, how did you become a bodybuilding champion without eating that half a cow and doing, and instead you're doing the plants? Tell us all about it.
Well, when I used to be the bodybuilding champion, at that time I was not plant-based yet. So my philosophy was, and this is horrible because I so believe that we need protein, and I ate protein six meals a day. I ate chicken for each meal or meat, and maybe 30 to 40 grams in each meal, which is almost the daily recommendation, and I had it in each meal, so I ate six times more than necessary, and I really believed it's healthy. But now over time, as I learned more, became plant-based, did a lot of research, I realized this is not at all necessary. And now I'm about almost 50 years old, I'm at 12% of body fat, I'm lean and muscular, and I eat about 10% protein of calories daily, and it's good enough, it's sufficient for heart training. So my views changed a lot over the years.
So Susanna, tell us, what are some of the problems that are associated with too much protein?
I think the biggest problem is that eating too much protein makes the body acidic, and then the body doesn't recover the same way, so it's much harder for the body to digest. And when the body is acidic, the body tries to find the balance, so it's pulling all the alkaline minerals from the bones and from the teeth, so people lose the calcium from the bones, people have digestive problems because they don't get enough fiber, and besides those short-term problems, there is also long-term problem because it's cancer-causing and heart disease-causing. So a lot of these bodybuilders, they look really great from the outside, but then they are causing disease and they die early.
Well, you know, Susanna, you know, one of the things I want to, you know, do is temper this a little bit. You know, protein is very, very important. There's no question. I think that as we look at each individual, we have to customize the amount of protein that they require. You said that 10% of your intake is protein, and so the other percentages are what?
Approximately 10% protein, 10% fat, and 80% of carbohydrates. But I do not eat any processed food, so everything is whole food and very healthy.
Right. And you know, one of the things that's important is you personally have discovered what is important for you, per se. You noted that your body fat percentage is 12%, but, you know, most, you know, average women are 25%. they're non-competitive athletes, and they're just sort of, you know, doing their little thing out there. And we would hope they were 20 to 25%, but most of them are actually 30% or more, and obviously are trying very much to get a better body composition. But really, at the end of the day, everyone has to look at, you know, and sit down with a registered dietitian and their medical team and figure out what their own protein intake really should be to be able to optimize their own lifestyle and whatever they're doing with their body. For instance, I'm a triathlete, and I really want to make sure that I maintain, I have a very muscular physique, and I maintain 30 to 35% protein and am exquisitely healthy, and in high performance maintain a body fat of 17 to 18%. And so I'm different in that regard. And I think that, you know, having you on, helping us understand all of this, just shows that everyone is different, that you need to sit down and honor your own individuality, and that, you know, I, for instance, as a physician who's worked with the National Basketball Association, I wouldn't feed someone like Shaquille O'Neal a 10% protein. That would not work for someone like that. Again, because of his muscularity, his size, as well as the type of athletics that he does. But that's good. So right now you're a competitive tennis player. And have you found that that your own customized way of eating has been able to help you optimize your own tennis performance?
Yes, absolutely. And I completely agree with everything you said. And I also played with all these different numbers. During my athletic time, I tried everything, 30% protein, 50, 40, 20, 20. I tried it all, and I always made my own experiment. And I was very curious before. I didn't believe that we need this little protein. So I thought, you know, let me try it on myself, because I train 2-3 hours a day also. So I'm sort of a high-performance athlete. And to my surprise, I was very impressed that if I eat around that 10% protein and eat carbohydrates instead, that the carbohydrates give me all the energy that I need for training. And therefore, I don't need as much protein, because the body, what it breaks down, it builds, and the 10% is good enough. So that was like this big revolution for me. And I have a lot of energy. I recover really well. I don't have any aches. So all these were benefits that I originally didn't want to believe, but when I did this experiment, and I tried that also with many of my clients, also athletes and tennis players, and I would say pretty much all of them really thrive, those who were able to do it. Some of them had little emotional issues, so they were not like doing this perfectly, right. But those right. who transitioned, they were doing really great.
So
even like you say...
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a quick question. Is it possible to gain muscle weight and strength on a plant-based diet?
Absolutely, yes. And it was another experiment of mine, because as a tennis player, I don't want to carry as much muscle mass. But I thought, because people always worry after I wrote the book, can I gain muscles? You are a tennis player, you don't need muscles. So I did intense training in the gym for a few months, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, a little less tennis, and I gained probably 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds of muscle. I did not get fat at the same time. So
right.
I was like
a perfect example.
That,
I think it's really important for a big message here is that plants, especially like beans, for instance, have a fabulous amount of protein. You get it from quinoa. There are lots of sources of protein. So put away that cow. There are plenty of other resources and options. Susanna McGee, we thank you so much for being on Her Radio. She is the author of The Athlete's Simple Guide to a Plant-Based Lifestyle. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
And always check with the nutritionist before changing your diet. That's so important. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.